I'm Joe Catalano with an AM Quincy news update for Tuesday, October 29th. An employee of a Quincy elementary school was placed on leave last week after administrators learned that they were the subject of a criminal investigation. In a letter sent to families, Quincy School Superintendent Kevin Mulvey says the employee was recently hired at the Atherton Howe Elementary School. Mulvey's letter did not reveal the employee's name or role. The state police investigation of the employee is active, and not all of the details are currently known to the school department. Because the case involves an unspecified cyber crime, Mulvey's original letter said the school would be swept by a state police canine unit that specializes in searching for technological devices. And in a subsequent letter, Mulvey informed families that nothing was found in the school. Mulvey emphasized that the employee was recently hired and that they passed all the required background checks. He says there's currently no information that indicates that any staff or students were placed in danger by the employee. A member of a nationwide drug trafficking ring was sentenced last week in federal court in Boston for drug trafficking and money laundering. During the investigation, over 160 pounds of pure methamphetamine, as well as an AK-47, a Glock with no serial number, two loaded Smith & Wesson handguns, and over 4,200 rounds of ammunition were seized. An illegal marijuana grow operation with hundreds of marijuana plants was also dismantled. 64-year-old Patrick O'Hearn of Braintree was sentenced to 15 years in prison, followed by 3 years of supervised release. In March, O'Hearn pleaded guilty to drug and money laundering charges. O'Hearn was charged along with 10 others. In September of 2021, O'Hearn was part of a large-scale methamphetamine distribution network that distributed significant quantities of pure methamphetamine throughout New England. In July of 21, O'Hearn was arrested, and over 680 grams of pure methamphetamine was seized, as well as smaller quantities of cocaine, ketamine, and other controlled substances from O'Hearn's residence. Over $213,000 in cash was also found in O'Hearn's residence and in bank and safe deposit boxes. A woman has died after being struck by an SUV in Milton on Sunday. The driver of the vehicle has now been charged with motor vehicle homicide and leaving the scene of an accident. Milton police say they responded to the 100 block of Reedsdale Road along with the fire department and ambulance shortly after 6 p.m. Sunday on a report of a person lying in the roadway. When they arrived, officers found a severely injured female and began to provide aid. Police said the woman's injuries appeared consistent with having been struck by a motor vehicle, but no vehicle or driver was at the scene. The woman was taken to Beth Israel Deaconess Hospital, Milton, where she was pronounced dead. She's now been identified as 68-year-old Donna Clark. About 20 minutes after they first responded to the scene, a driver operating a maroon Toyota SUV arrived and spoke with officers investigating the crash. The Toyota had sustained some damage, and police said the driver made statements linking them to the incident. Driver, 65-year-old Wallace Wilson Jr. of Dorchester, was arrested on suspicion of motor vehicle homicide, operating under the influence and leaving the scene. He pleaded not guilty in Quincy District Court yesterday and was ordered held on $5,000 cash bail along with conditions. Police said additional charges could be forthcoming. Wilson's due back in court on November 26th. A migrant charged with raping a teenage girl is in jail on higher bail yesterday. Prosecutors hope that will keep him in the U.S. to face the charges. Corey Alvarez is accused of raping the 15-year-old girl at the Comfort Inn in Rockland over the spring while both were staying at the emergency migrant shelter. Alvarez posted bail after pleading not guilty, but he was arrested by U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement over the summer and was scheduled to be deported later this week. Yesterday, a judge agreed with local prosecutors to increase the bail to pause the deportation process. Alvarez came to the U.S. legally from Haiti last June. Firefighters battled a fire in several structures at a town recycling facility in Cohasset after receiving a report of an explosion early yesterday morning. First responders were called to the recycling transfer facility just before 6 a.m., found a garage and adjacent sheds burning. It took more than 2 hours. Firefighters from Scituate and Norwell to put out the fires. Officials didn't share what, if anything, they suspect started the fire, which was under state and local police investigation. Cohasset, Scituate, Norwell firefighters battled the blaze for over 2 hours. Cohasset police, along with state troopers assigned to the fire marshal's office, are investigating the cause of the fire. It was not immediately clear if service at the facility was affected by the fires. Flowers and condolences are all that remain at a popular restaurant area in Plymouth after a fatal shooting on Friday night. Bouquets were left outside of Speedwell Tavern. The restaurant is not far from a deadly road rage incident that claimed the life of a 41-year-old Brent Berkeley. Yesterday, David Jerome was arraigned for Berkeley's murder. Prosecution says Jerome took his 1-year-old son to a nearby brewery. After leaving, witnesses say he began heading the wrong way down a one-way road. It's there that he got into an altercation with a man at a white pickup. The two exchanged words outside of their vehicles. Jerome is a licensed gun owner who legally owns 8 guns. Prosecution says at the time one was on him, another was in his car, and both were loaded. They say after the first interaction, he removed the other gun from a safe in the car and continued to drive. After the crash, the prosecution says Berkeley came to confront him and that Jerome warned he had a gun. From there, Jerome allegedly opened fire, shooting Berkeley multiple times in the chest and abdomen. Jerome was found at the scene and arrested by police, who later searched his home and found several other guns, 3 of which he had illegally loaded 30-round magazines. The limit in Massachusetts is 10 rounds. He's now being held without bail. Locally, fundraising efforts for Berkeley's family are underway. An online fundraiser has brought in more than $100,000. A Plymouth County Superior Court judge is deciding if a wrongful death lawsuit filed against Karen Reed by the family of Boston police officer John O'Keefe will proceed as scheduled. Lawyers for Reed and the O'Keefe family appeared in a Brockton courtroom to debate that issue yesterday. Reed has asked that the civil suit be stayed or postponed until her criminal case is complete. In August, the O'Keefe family sued Reed and 2 Canton bars that she and O'Keefe were drinking at in the hours before O'Keefe's death in January of 2022. The suit does not state the dollar amount the family is seeking. Instead, it demands costs, compensatory and punitive damages, lost value of next of kin, and any other relief the court deems appropriate. In a separate criminal case in Norfolk County, Reed faces a second-degree murder charge for O'Keefe's death. Prosecutors have alleged she struck him with her SUV and left him in a snowstorm. Reed's lawyers have long argued that she's been framed by law enforcement and people identified as witnesses in the case. Attorney William Kevel represents Reed in the civil case. In open court, Kevel said that Reed would have to defend herself on 2 fronts at the same time if the civil suit is not delayed. He said Reed's 5th Amendment privilege, or right not to incriminate herself, would be violated if she was deposed or questioned in the civil case before the criminal trial ends. Attorney Mark Diller, representing O'Keefe's family, says Reed has already forfeited her 5th Amendment right by providing interviews to Dateline, ABC, and Vanity Fair. Diller suggests the strength of the civil suit is strong based on filings by Reed's criminal attorneys that indicated 8 jurors were prepared to find Reed guilty of manslaughter in her first trial before the trial ended without any verdicts. A mistrial was declared July 1st when the jurors indicated that they were at an impasse and could not reach a consensus. Diller accused Reed of self-promotion and told the judge that he should be able to depose or question Reed before her retrial begins. A ruling on the requested delay of the civil proceedings is expected at any time. Well, once again this year, the Quincy College men's basketball team is ready to challenge for the National Junior College Athletic Association's Region 21 title. The Granite's three consecutive 20-win seasons have resulted in three straight trips to the regional postseason tournament. This season, Coach Doug Scott's team goes into the campaign nationally ranked 13th in the NJCAA Division III. The Granite will open their season November 1st at Monroe University in New York, then face Springfield Technical Community College in their home opener on November 7th at 7 p.m. at Quincy High School, where all the home games will be played this season and admission is free. Check of business news this morning. Stocks are higher. The Dow rose 273 points. The NASDAQ is up 48, and the S&P added 15. Asian stocks are also higher. The dollar slipped. The euro is down, and oil at $67 a barrel. Sports. Celtics beat the Bucks 119-108. They'll be in Indiana against the Pacers tomorrow night at 7 o'clock. Tonight, Bruins host the Flyers at 7. The National Weather Service forecast for today, mainly cloudy, the high of 55 degrees. Tonight, partly cloudy, low around 30. Tomorrow, partly sunny, mild, high 71. Then Thursday, partly sunny and very warm, high of 81. Some clouds on Friday at a high of 73. For the boater today, waves 1 to 2 feet, a wind southeast, 5 to 10 knots, high tide 10:09 a.m. Sunrise 7:13, sets 5:40. I'm Joe Catalano with an AM Quincy News update for Tuesday, October 29th.